Let the church say amen. God has been good to us once again. And I may as well just tell you right now, you didn't have to be here today. None of us have an option on life that we can go and come as we please. God has been good enough to us that He has granted us to be able to be here this morning. And God is good all the time, and all the time, God is good. Let the church say amen if you can. Here we are now. We've reached the portion of the year where we are planning to see the old out and bring in the new. Are you planning on becoming a new person this New Year's? Or are you planning on being the same old person that you were last year or this past year? You need to think about that question, and I don't need an answer right now. This is not a test. So think about it and work on it for yourself. This morning the scripture was read for your hearing from Proverbs chapter 3, and the verses were 1 through 7. We'll revisit that, but I want you to take note of verses number 5 and verses number 6, if you will. It says, "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. And in all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy path." Let us go to God in prayer. O Lord, our Heavenly Father, it is good for us to be here this morning, O Lord. We thank You for allowing us to be here. We thank You that You have blessed us to be here. We thank You that each and every member in the audience this morning, each and every visitor, each and every friend, and each and every relative that may be in the audience this morning. We thank You, O Lord, and we just pray that we can be strengthened as we go on throughout the rest of this service, O Lord, and that things would be handled decently and in order. We thank You this morning for this local congregation here, the Stony Island Church of Christ, O Lord. We pray for each and every member once again, and we pray for the leadership and their family members also. We pray for the brethren who have taken part in the services thus far, and we pray for their families. We pray and ask You, O Lord, that if it be Thy will, that we would be able to continue to serve Thee in spirit and in truth. We thank You, O Heavenly Father, that Your will might be done through us. And we pray and thank You, Lord, that You have allowed us to be allowed us a portion of this year to be in the ranks of those who are living next to this very last day of this old year. We pray that if it be Thy will, Lord, that You would give us the strength and the blessings and the grace and the mercy to continue on into the new year. We thank You, O Heavenly Father, for those who serve You, and we pray for those who haven't learned to serve You as of yet. We pray, O Heavenly Father, for those who are in the battlefields all over the world, that they may soon be able to come home and that men would learn to get along and be at peace one with another. We pray for the families in this world today that are raising their children, that they may also be able to live in peace and that their children may have peace one with another. We thank You for everything that You do for us, in particular, especially, we thank You for Your Son, Jesus, who died on yonder's cross, that we may have this opportunity to worship Thee in spirit and in truth. Thank You, O Heavenly Father, for everything You do for us, everything You've done for us, and everything You continue to do for us. It is in the name of Your Son, Jesus, that we ask all of these blessings and more. Let us all say, amen. Here we are at that week where it's the beginning of a new year. The upcoming week shall bring us a new year if we're still here, if God will allow us to be here. And most of us are asking ourselves the question, am I going to be better this year than I was on last year? And most of the time when we say that, we're talking about, am I going to have more money than I had last year? Am I going to get in less trouble this year than I did last year? How am I going to fare this year? But we ought to be asking the question, Lord, am I going to be a better Christian this year, this new year than I was this last year? We live in a crazy mixed up world and changes have taken place over the last few years. And many of us who are a little bit older, we don't always understand these changes. And we're, we're sort of slow to get with these changes, if you will. They say that these changes are in life are to make our time more manageable. In the text, the wise man Solomon, who writes to his son on how he can do well in a world that's not doing so well. The question for us is, how can I survive and keep my sanity in this crazy and mixed up world? So from that this morning, I want to give just a few tips for survival in the new year. Survival in the new year. In this ever-changing world, with each and every year, each and every new year that approaches, it brings us, or it should bring us, a clearer picture on what we should be doing for the betterment of our lives. Now, I know many of you make resolutions. A resolution is nothing but a lie. Call it whatever you will, but we make resolution. And I made a resolution for myself. I made a resolution that I was not going to make any resolutions. Because usually you get about 2 weeks into the new year and it's gone already anyhow. So why even bother with it? Why even ask yourself, why even tell yourself, most of the time it's something like losing weight, getting more money, getting a better job, being better to my family than I was on last year. And most of the time, it usually doesn't work out. So don't even make a resolution this year. But first thing we got to do in this new year to survive, to survival in this new year, is look to the Lord. Look at the text in verse number 6, if you will. In verse number 6, the Bible says, "In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy path." We must learn to accept that God is able to do more for us than many of us give Him credit for. He is able to make heads out of our affairs. He is able to give us a resolution to all of the things that seem to be bothering us. We must trust His guidance when we cannot guide ourselves. Do you remember in Ecclesiastes chapter 9, around about verse number 11, where the writer said, "The race is not to the swift, the battle, nor the battle to the strong." Do you remember, church, that the battle is not ours, the battle belongs to God. The battle belongs to God. It is God of whom fights our battles for us. Oh yeah, we get into trouble every now and then, and we have to get ourselves out. There are some things that we can handle on our own. During this new and upcoming year that's approaching us pretty fast, we've got to learn to accept that God is able to do all the things that we can't do and even more. We talked about it, or the Bible school lesson was about it this morning, how that Jesus took two fish and 5 loaves of bread and turned it into an all-you-can-eat seafood bar. He allowed them to eat from 2 fish and 5 loaves of bread, all that they want. They filled up baskets full. And you know that sounds impossible. And to a person who's not a biblical student or who doesn't know the Bible at all, they would say, that's not true. But just go to the Bible and you'll find that whatever you think God can't do, God can do. Whatever you think that is mission impossible for us, God is mission impossible. For He can do the impossible things that we cannot do. He can do all those things that we would never be able to do. One thing that I've learned, and I've learned this one thing, that if God can't do it, nobody can do it. When Peter was walking on the water in Matthew chapter 14, he was good as long as he kept his eye on the Lord. But when he took his eye away from the Lord, when he took his eye off the Lord, he began to sink. How many times have you asked yourself the question or asked God to help you, and then you get in the middle of your trials and tribulations and you take your eye off the Lord or you lose sight of the Lord? Perhaps because you didn't think God was moving fast enough. Perhaps because you didn't think that a 10-year-old problem should have been solved the minute you asked God to solve it. God is capable of solving it in the moment you ask Him, but He doesn't always solve it in the moment that you ask Him. If you've been dealing with it for 10 years, why not let the Lord have it for 10 hours? or whatever time the Lord takes. If you don't see it right away, you think God is not hearing you. You think God doesn't know what's going on. But I'll tell you something. God knows everything that's going on in our lives. God knows everything that happens in our lives, and He knows how to handle everything that happens in our lives. God is God, and we've got to learn and remember what verse 6 says again. In all thy ways acknowledge Him. In other words, we must submit to His will. After all, we asked Him for the help. He didn't ask us for help. We asked Him for help. And when you think about it, church, when you look at this matter, we must look to Him for our strength. For God is good. He is a stronghold in the day of trouble. And He knoweth them that trust in Him, according to Nahum 1 and verse number 7. Now, I've come to realize that everything that I want, I'm not necessarily going to get. I've come to realize that everything that you want, you're not going to necessarily get. But God is able to give us all the desires of our heart. But we must acknowledge Him, trust in Him, and allow Him to do what He knows best on doing. See, if we knew what to do, we wouldn't need to call on God. But since we don't, we have to acknowledge Him in all of our ways. And then when you think about it in this upcoming new year, think about the ring that it has. 2012 to 2013. That sounds fantastic. 2013. What am I going to do in 2013? How am I going to face 2013? How am I going to get through 2013? Well, I've got these survival tips for you. Trust in the Lord. Know Him the entire year. Don't just know Him on the first Sunday of the new year. Learn to know Him all year long and trust in Him all year long. If you didn't put your trust in Him in 2012, you need to put your trust in Him in 2013. And I may as well tell you, yes, the church needs growth. Yes, the church, the members of the congregation need growth, some of us. And I put myself in that too. We all need growth. And I may as well tell you, we need to give more. I may as well start it out right. We need to give more. I read in the bulletin this morning that 20, how many times, Brother Jackson? 23 times? That's a sad state of affairs. 23 times, yet many of you were here 52 times, but we only made 23 times did we make the budget. And that's a sad commentary. Don't you love the Lord enough to give Him more? Or do you love Him enough that you say, well, He won't mind if I skimp on Him? You've got to trust in the Lord and you've got to do what His will is. That's why the next point is going to tell you that. You've got to learn to stay in the Word of God all year long. The Bible is the only book that can offer us true and tried means of serving God. It gives direction. It offers promises to be kept. And it teaches us the way to God. In John chapter 1, around verse number 3, we learn that without God there would be nothing. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made. That one verse wraps up all things. It puts everything in perspective. No matter who you may be, no matter who you may know in this life, and I know some folk like to drop names. Oh, I know so-and-so. If you don't know God, you've got trouble on your hand. It doesn't make any difference who you've met in your lifetime. If you don't know God, no one else really matters. Without Him, there would be no world, according to Genesis 1 and 1. No sun, no moon, no stars, according to Psalms chapter 8 and verse number 3. The psalmist wrote, when I consider the heavens and the works of thy fingers, the moon and the stars which thou hast ordained, God put them all there. You didn't put not one star in the sky. I didn't put one star in the sky. All I can do is look up at night in a starry sky and be amazed at what God has done for us. You know, if you ever outside of the city light, say you're in the country, you're out far away from the city where there are no lights, and you look up in the sky, and you see how beautiful the sky really is, and you think to yourself, now they didn't make that, they didn't make those stars in a factory. They're not artificial stars. They're not pasted up there. They're not going to come down until God tells them to move. They're not going to move. They're always going to be there. All of us need to look to the Bible to understand God fuller. The Bible will let us know that we have a friend in Jesus. Do you need a friend? Do you want a friend? Jesus is a friend. And He loves us unconditionally. And somebody may say, well, how do you know that, preacher? Well, He proved it when He died for the sins of mankind. The Bible teaches us that He is our shepherd. How that He will walk with us through the valley of the shadow of death, according to Psalms 23 and verse number 4. He will walk with us through the valley of the shadow of death. Don't worry about dying. Don't let that be a problem to you as you're living. Don't think about who's going to be there for me. God will walk with us through that valley of the shadow of death. The Word of God teaches us. Oh yes, the Word of God teaches us many things, but one thing I want to concentrate here for a moment, He teaches us to love one another. Oh yeah. Oh yeah, and that's going to be a problem, as I said before. That's going to be a problem for many of us. In John chapter 13 and verse number 34 and 35, He teaches us also to forgive one another. Matthew 6 and 15. If we but just had a little time today, we could open up our Bibles and see what it tells us about bearing one another's burdens in Galatians chapter 6. Most importantly of all, though, it will instruct us on getting to heaven where we all, I think, want to go. But we don't have time this morning. You don't have enough time for us to open up our Bible. So I'm going to suggest to you that you open your own Bibles at your own leisure, at home if you will, and learn about these things. It teaches us how beautiful heaven is and how beautiful it will be for those who get inside of the gates of heaven. But once again, since we don't have time, I'm going to just suggest once again that you open your Bibles when you get home or when you get in your leisure time. But you need to learn to open your Bibles more in 2013 than you did in 2012. Where we can learn about faith, learn about loving, learn about praying, and what Jesus has already done for us, and what He still is doing for us, and what His promises for us for the future, what His promises for the future for us. Oh yes, you need to open the Bible. A Bible looks good laying on your coffee table, but it does no good. The Bible doesn't drink coffee, so there's no sense in sitting your cup on the Bible. It doesn't need it. There's no sense in your Bible just being there so when I come over I can be impressed, because I'm not. And it doesn't make any difference what good is your Bible doing just sitting there to make people think you study it? That's not doing us any good, is it, church? That's not doing us any good at all. So in 2013, surviving 2013 is not hard to do. If you look at God's Word and you trust in the Lord, you look at His Word and stay in His Word. And then when all is said and done, when everything that you have, when all of the problems that you face in 2012 comes back on you in 2013, you'll know where to turn to. And this next item. This is something that many of us have a problem with. We need to learn to forget the past and look to the future. Now we all have a past. Now, if I ask you to raise your hand and tell me that you don't have a past, no one could raise their hand, because you all have a past, just like I have a past, just like the rest of us have a past. And we have this past, and in our past, some of us, we have things in those past that we're not proud of. Sometimes there are sins and failures that have bogged us down and that we can lean on to help us keep on moving forward if we allow ourselves to move away from the past. The past. The past sometimes haunts us. I remember, you know, especially when you get old, you can remember the past, but you can't live the past.
You can only remember the past. And when you think about it, the Bible said in Philippians chapter 3 and 13, the writer wrote, he said, but this one thing I know, this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. In other words, let the past go. That's why some of you don't like one another anymore now. And I'm not talking about anybody in the church, so before anybody says, he must be talking about me. If I'm talking about you, I didn't know about you, I'm just talking. If you let the past go, you can learn to forgive and move on toward the future. And you know, when you get up and you look in the mirror, you say to yourself, when I look in the mirror, I'm 98% of my own problems. And if I can learn to move me out of the way, I can solve a whole bunch of issues in my life. So I asked the question this morning, how long will you hold on to the past? How long will you allow something to fester inside you and just keep growing and getting worse and causing you to have anxiety issues and stress-related issues? Will you allow Satan to keep you focused on yesterday? Or will you look to God for guidance in the upcoming new year? An even better question to ask yourselves is this. Will we be able to make heaven our home living in the past? If you won't be able to make heaven your home by living in the past, you need to let the past go. If we continue to live in our faults and failures of yesterday, we're going to continue to be down and downtrodden. Look at the Word of God for examples of those who trusted in the same God that we know today. They trusted in the God, that same God that's alive and well for us today. Look at Daniel. Daniel loved the Lord, but he looked at death in the eyes of lions. But he served a God that was greater than the lion. The three Hebrew boys were destined for death by the fiery furnace. But they knew a God who was mightier than the furnace. Paul and Silas were locked up in jail. But I tell you something about the jail that they were locked in. They served the God who held the keys to the lock of that jail. Didn't they, church? Church, I tell you, if you serve the Lord that I'm talking about, if you look in your Bible and you serve the Lord that I'm talking about and you let the past go and look toward the future, you can be just like these three. Even Jesus questioned God through prayer in the garden whether His cup could pass, but He knew the Father's will had to be done. Whatever we face in the old year, we can trust in God and ask Him to fix it in the new year. Do you understand that God is able to fix anything that may be wrong? And you know, domestic issues, husband and wife. Now, I know you heard the story, if you listen to the news at all. It was a domestic issue that caused someone to set a house on fire and kill someone and injure other folks. All because of domestic issues. Things that probably came up from the past. I don't like you anymore because I remember what you did 20 years ago to me, and it's just not going to ride with me in the new year. I need to let that go. And then, when you let things go, you begin to have a feeling of relief coming over you. You begin to have a feeling that it really wasn't that important after all. It really didn't make any difference. And if I just ask God to move me away from that and allow me to move forward. Look at the text once again. Look at Proverbs chapter 3. Look at verse 5. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. And when that word A-L-L, that means there's no exception. With all thine heart. And lean not unto thine own understanding. And all, there's that word again. All thy ways, acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy path. Oh, I need some direction in my path. I don't know about you. I need some direction. Sometimes I don't know which way is up and which way to go, but you know you can go to the Lord and He'll show you the right way. But you've got to acknowledge Him in all of thy ways. In the new year, We must have faith in Him that He is able to do what we call the impossible. Church, let us never forget to seek God through prayer all throughout the balance of 2012 and into the new year. Remember Psalms 90 and verse number 12 where the Bible said, teach us to number our days that we may apply our hearts to wisdom. Isn't that right, church? Do you want wisdom in 2013? Then you've got to learn to ask God to help you to number your days. You know, we don't have a whole lot of days, but the days that we have, we need to ask the Lord to number them, help us to teach us to number those days. You know, when you think you're smarter than God, you need some help. So that's what Solomon was writing to his son. Look at verse number 1. He says, "My son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. For length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee." Oh, you want to live and make it through 2013. You got to start out by asking the Lord. And I'm not predicting anyone will not be here for 2013. I'm not predicting how long you will be here in 2013. But you need to ask the Lord to teach you to number your days. Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck. Write them upon the table of thine heart. In other words, put God's will and word in your heart. Let you learn to accept God and to acknowledge God. So shall thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. And then we go back to trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. You know, you may have trust issues with the Lord, but you've got to learn to trust in Him and be for Him and not against Him. You know, it's hard to try to be against the Lord. It's very hard when you think about how could I, as a mortal man, be against the Lord who is the maker and creator of anything, everything, and all things. But there are some folk who battle against the Lord. I don't need Him. That's what you're saying. You're battling against Him. It says, once again, it says in verse number 5, "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy path." Now, I tell you something. 2012 may not have been a great year for you, but 2013 can be a better year for you if you trust in the Lord. 2013 is upcoming, is going to come in the same way 2012 goes out in most, more than likely. You're going to go to bed in 2012, and some of you are going to wake up at midnight and say, I'm welcoming him in the new year. And it's going to look the same as the old year looked. It's going to be dark outside. It's not going to look any different unless there's something going on like a fire around you or something. And it's going to, the next morning when you wake up again, it's going to be dawn. If the sun is supposed to shine, God will let it shine. If it's not, it's going to be a dark day. But still, the day is going to look the same, but it'll be a day that you've never seen before in your life. If you want 2013 to be a better year, you've got to learn to trust in the Lord and lean not to thy own understanding. If I would be able to suggest to you that you learn to accept God's will in your life and not fight it. You know, I tell you something. A lot of times I think about going on a trip. Every so often I think about going on a trip. But then when I think about it and I say to myself, you're probably going to have to fly. And that's when I began to consider to myself, do I really want to get up there? I always told you that when I walk in an airplane, the first thing I do when I get inside the door, I peep around to see who's driving. I want to know who's driving me, you see. See, because it may not be my time, but it might be his time. And so I got to have a little confidence in my mind that this person really knows what, and I speak to them. Whether they speak to me or not, I speak to them. I say, how you doing? Are we going to get there safe? I've asked them before. Because I'm concerned about my safety. See, I don't like to fly anyway. But I know it takes too long in a car sometimes. And I know the bus is out of the question because they stop every 10 miles. And the trains, they're not very much safer because they run off the track all the time. So if I want to get where I'm going, I have to fly. But I'm going to ask the Lord to get me there. I'm going to ask Him, Lord, when You pick me up off the ground, bring me back down if it be Your will. I'm trusting in You, Lord, because I know You're able to push this jet through the sky. And I know You're able to press it down and allow it to touch the ground again. See, that's my faith. Therefore, with my faith, I know that the Lord is able to handle whatever I can get into on this earth. If He can take me up there, bring me back down to here, I know He can handle me on this earth. So I ask you this morning, how will you end 12 and begin 13? Will it be the same old me? Or will it be a different you? Or will it be a different me, I should say? I tell you something, church. If you want to know God, God is open for you knowing Him. He's taking on new clients, if you will. He doesn't shut the door in your face and say, I'm not taking any new clients anymore. God is taking all comers. God doesn't want anyone to be lost. He wants us all to be saved. And you know, 2013 just might be the year you need that saving power. Now, when I look at this big picture, and I say to myself, if God had not made me, would I be better off? Well, if God hadn't made me, I wouldn't know whether I'd be better off or not, would I? So I ask you the question this morning. When 2013 rolls in just a few more hours, in just a little while, what will God find you doing? How will He find you living? Will He find you trusting in Him and asking Him for His guidance? Or will He find you being your old stubborn self saying, I can do it all by myself? Ask yourself the question, do I want to be saved? And if I want to be saved, how do I get a start on being saved? Well, you have to come to the Lord if you want to be saved. How do I come to the Lord? Well, you come by hearing, believing, repenting, confessing, and then being baptized. And if you've already done that, as many of or most of us in here have, sometimes we need a little urging sometimes to come back to the Lord. Sometimes we drift a little bit. And Christians do drift. I got my watch this morning, so I know it's my time. Sometimes we need a little boost. Sometimes we need a little push because we've gone away from the Lord. See, 2012 may have found you drifting. And 2013 needs to help you come back. And this is the last Sunday, the last worship service we'll have in 2012. This may be the last Sunday for many of us or any of us. It could be. So this is the last Sunday in this old year. So if you want to get yourself right with God, you need to do it today. Don't wait till next year. I'll do it the first Sunday of next year. You may not be around them, but you do have this day, this Sunday, to get it straight. How do I get it straight? Well, simply ask the Lord to forgive you for whatever you've done, whatever may be plaguing you. Come forward, ask the church to pray for you. If you do this, you may do this as we together stand and sing the song of invitation.